Welcome to Verity Wealth Report with Stephen Ting from Verity Wealth Group. Planning for your financial future means navigating challenges like market volatility, inflation, and retirement income. Verity Wealth Report is here to help by addressing common financial concerns, sharing valuable strategies, and exploring ways you can work toward your financial goals. Now let's get started with Verity Wealth Report.
Hello and welcome to the Verity Wealth Report. My name is Stephen Ting from Verity Wealth Group. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, give us a call at 626-650-9486 or visit us online at VerityWealthGroup.com. And while at my website, click on our radio page to check out our past shows and subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. If you're married or have ever been married, there's a piece of the Social Security puzzle that often gets overlooked in retirement planning, and that's spousal benefits. Most people think of Social Security as something you earn based on your own work history, and that's true. But the rules also allow a spouse to receive benefits based on their partner's earnings record, and in some cases, that makes a real difference in what a household brings in during retirement. We're going to walk through how spousal benefits work, who qualifies, and how to think about building them into your retirement income strategy. Because a lot of couples, this isn't just a technicality. It can be a meaningful source of income they may not fully factored in. And look, Social Security decisions are some of the most permanent financial decisions you'll make. There's no do-over once you file. So my hope is that by the end of today's show, listeners feel informed and confident, whether they're planning for themselves, for a spouse, or for both. But before we get into all the details, let me bring in my co-host, Jacqueline Gladhill, who always knows just how to frame these conversations.
Well, thank you, Stephen. And that point about permanence is already setting with me. You know, Social Security is one of these topics where I think a lot of people assume that they'll just figure it out when the time comes. So I'm so glad that we're getting into the specifics today. Where do you want to start with this?
Well, to kick off today's conversation, we'll be discussing a U.S. News and World Report article that comes with the headline, 2026 Guide, How to Maximize Social Security with Spousal Benefits. Let's start with how spousal benefits actually interact with your own Social Security record, because this is where it gets a little nuanced, and it's important to understand before you make any decisions. Here's the way it works. If you're eligible for a retirement benefit based on your own earnings, the Social Security Administration is going to compare that amount to what you've received as a spouse. They'll pay whichever is higher. If your own benefits is the larger of the two, that's what you'll receive. But if the spousal benefit would be greater, that's what kicks in instead. What that means practically is that the spousal benefits act almost like a floor or a baseline that ensures a lower earning or non-working spouse still has meaningful income in retirement. Now, here's the part I really want listeners to pay attention to. Timing matters enormously. If a spouse claims benefits before reaching full retirement age, those benefits are permanently reduced. Not temporarily, but permanently. That reduction follows you for the rest of your life. Ultimately, the decision of when to file isn't just a calendar question, it's a financial strategy question. And it's one of the reasons I always encourage people not to make that call without really thinking it through or talking it through with a financial professional.
Well, that word permanently is doing a lot of heavy lifting there. So just to make sure I'm understanding correctly, you know, if a spouse files early and then takes that reduced benefit that you're talking about, there's no way to go back and correct it later.
That's exactly it. And it's one of those things that can really catch people off guard. Once you file, that's your benefit. The Social Security Administration doesn't offer a do-over with very limited exceptions. There's also an option to withdraw your application within the first 12 months of filing, but you have to repay every dollar you've received, which isn't realistic for most people. For many retirees, the age at which you claim is the age that sets your benefits for life. That's why the timing conversation is so important to have well before you're ready to file.
Well, thank you, Stephen, for that extra detail. So what's next then?
Let's put some real numbers to this because I think it helps make the concept a lot more tangible. If you wait until full retirement age to claim your spousal benefit, you're eligible for up to 50% of your spouse's primary insurance amount. That's the maximum. Here's a simple example. If your spouse's benefit is $3,000 a month at their full retirement age, your spousal benefit at your full retirement age would be $1,500 a month.
Well, and that's a pretty straightforward calculation. And $1,500 a month is nothing to overlook when you're piecing together retirement income.
Exactly. And when you're building out a full household income picture, that number can really matter. Now, if either spouse claims before full retirement age, that 50% ceiling comes down. The earlier you claim, the smaller the benefit. And as we touched on before, that reduction is permanent.
So, Stephen, what does the landscape actually look like in terms of real dollar amounts today?
Good question. In 2026, the maximum Social Security retirement benefit at full retirement age is $4,152 a month. That sets the upper limit for what a spousal benefit could be based on. And after this year's cost of living adjustment of 2.8%, the average Social Security benefit for a retired married couple is $3,208 a month. We're talking about real substantial income that's worth planning around carefully.
Well, and that cost of living adjustment is a nice feature of Social Security that I don't think gets enough attention. But let's talk about full retirement age, because I have a feeling that's a number a lot of listeners aren't totally sure about.
It's a great point to flag because full retirement age isn't the same for everyone. It depends on the year you were born. If you were born in 1960 or later, your full retirement age is 67. But if you were born before that, it may be slightly earlier. For example, if you were born in 1954, your full retirement age is 66. For those born between 1955 and 1959, it phases up gradually in 2-month increments, landing somewhere between 66 and 2 months and 66 and 10 months, depending on your birth year. The 1960 milestone marks the end of a gradual phase-in that started with Social Security reforms back in 1983. Those reforms, signed into law by President Reagan, gradually raised the full retirement age from 65 to 67 over a multi-decade phase-in period as a way to account for longer life expectancies and keep the Social Security program financially stable.
Well, and if I'm a listener and I'm not sure where I land, I'd want to look that up based on my birth year.
Yes, exactly. And one more thing worth knowing, you don't have to claim at full retirement age. You can wait as late as age 70, and your benefits continue to grow the longer you hold off. If your health and finances allow for it, waiting can pay off in a meaningful way.
Well, and I love that you walked through the actual numbers there, Stephen. But can anyone who is married count on that 50% that you're talking about? Or are there other factors that come into play?
There are actually a few additional factors that can affect the amount. Your own earnings history plays a role, and as we talked about earlier, if your own retirement benefit is higher than what you received as a spouse, Social Security pays your benefits instead. Your spousal benefit really comes into play when one partner has a significantly lower or no earnings record of their own. Age is the other big variable. Claiming before full retirement age reduces the benefit, and the reduction is calculated based on how many months early you file. So the 50% figure is really the ceiling, not a guaranteed number for everyone. The amount any individual receives depends on their specific situation, which is why it's worth looking at your own numbers rather than assuming you'll land at the maximum.
Absolutely. Well, I do want to take a quick pause here. And before we keep going with today's conversation, Stephen, can you please remind our listeners how they can schedule a complimentary consultation with you to ask questions or get more information?
Sure. Just give us a call at 626-650-9486. Or again, visit us online at veritywealthgroup.com. Scheduling a consultation really only takes a few minutes. We're always happy to work around your schedule.
Well, thank you, Stephen. Now, what do you have next for us?
Timing is really at the heart of this whole conversation. And before anyone makes a decision about when to claim, it's worth doing a genuine cost-benefit analysis. That means looking at your full picture and not just the benefit amount itself, and also things like earnings limitations and how federal and potentially state income taxes might affect what you actually take home.
Well, and that's a great reminder that the number on paper isn't always the number in your pocket.
Absolutely. And one of the most important pieces of that analysis is understanding what claiming early actually costs you. If you file for spousal benefits before reaching full retirement age, your benefit is permanently reduced. Waiting until full retirement age means you receive the full spousal benefit, which again is up to 50% of what your spouse is eligible for.
Well, Stephen, are there any other timing considerations beyond just the age question?
There's actually a requirement that a lot of people don't know about until they're ready to file. In order to claim a spousal benefit, the person you're basing that claim on must already be receiving their own Social Security benefits. Your spouse has to have filed first.
Okay, and what happens if your spouse hasn't filed yet?
In that case, your initial benefit would be based on your own earnings history, assuming you've accumulated the 40 credits needed to qualify for retirement benefits. Then, once your spouse does file, you have the ability to switch over to the spousal benefits if that amount is higher. For context, you earn credits by working and paying Social Security taxes. And in 2026, you earn one credit for every $1,730 in wages or self-employment income, up to a maximum of 4 credits per year. The way it works is that your payment becomes a combination of the two that adds up to the higher amount you qualify for.
Well, and that's a helpful detail. And I want to ask about the higher earner in the household, because I think some people worry about that their spouse collecting a spousal benefit might somehow affect their own.
It doesn't. And that's a really common concern worth clearing up. If you're the higher earner, the spousal benefit your partner receives is completely separate from your own. It has no impact on your benefit whatsoever. The two are independent of each other.
All right, so that makes sense. Let's say a listener has been taking all of this in and they're thinking, okay, Stephen, I want to look into this for myself. What does the actual process of claiming a spousal benefit look like?
I think it's a pretty straightforward process, but you want to make sure you have your own documentation in order before you get started. You'll need to verify your eligibility, and that means providing things like your marriage certificate and both spouses' Social Security numbers.
Okay, are there any eligibility requirements that might catch people off guard?
One that's worth knowing is that you must have been married for at least 1 year before you can claim a spousal benefit. It's not something most people need to worry about, but it is a requirement. Beyond that, the standard eligibility factors we've already covered apply, including your age, your spouse's filing status, and whether your own benefits is lower than the spousal benefit amount.
And once someone has their documents together, where do you actually go to apply?
You have a couple of options. You can contact the Social Security Administration directly to schedule an appointment, or you can apply online through their website. Either way, they'll review your application and make the determination on eligibility. My general advice is don't wait until the last minute to start that process. Give yourself some runway, gather your documents ahead of time, and if you have any questions about how the benefit fits into your broader retirement plan, that's a great conversation to have with a financial advisor before you file.
Well, Stephen, we've talked a lot about the timing of when you should claim or when to claim, but I want to make sure that we cover something that I think catches a lot of people off guard. You know, what happens if someone claims early but is still working?
This is such an important topic, and you're right that it surprises a lot of people. If you claim Social Security before your full retirement age and you're still earning income, your benefits could be temporarily reduced depending on how much you've been earning. It's called the earnings test, and it applies a withholding threshold based on your income. It's also worth noting that the earnings test applies specifically to wages and self-employment income, which are things like investment returns, pension payments, or rental income. Don't count toward that limit.
Well, Stephen, can you walk us through what those thresholds actually look like?
For 2026, it's if you're under full retirement age for the entire year, you could earn up to $24,480 without any impact on your benefit. That breaks down to about $2,040 a month. If you earn more than that, $1 is withheld for every $2 you go over that limit. Now, in the year you actually reach full retirement age, the rules loosen up quite a bit. The threshold jumps to $65,160 for that year, which is about $5,430 a month. And the withholding rate drops down to $1 for every $3 over the limit. And once you hit the full retirement age, there's no earnings limit at all. You can now earn as much as you want without any impact on your benefit.
Well, that's a pretty significant jump between those two thresholds. But I want to make sure I heard you correctly. You said the reduction is temporary?
That's the part that's really important to understand, and I'm glad that you caught that. The withheld benefits aren't gone forever. So once you reach full retirement age, the Social Security Administration recalculates your benefits and gives you credit for the months when payments were withheld. So over time, you do get the money back through a higher monthly benefit. It's not a penalty in the permanent sense, but it does affect your cash flow in the short term, which is why it's worth factoring in when you decide whether to claim early while you're still working.
Well, Stephen, I want to shift gears for a moment and talk about something on the tax side of things, because, you know, there's a new development in 2026 that I think is really relevant for the people that we've been talking about today. Can you walk us through the new senior bonus deduction?
Yes, and that is a welcome change for a lot of retirees. As part of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, the sweeping tax legislation signed into law in 2025 that made several changes affecting retirees, including the introduction of this new deduction for older Americans. There is a new $6,000 deduction available to taxpayers who are 65 and older. For single filers, that deduction is $6,000, and for married couples filing jointly, it doubles to $12,000.
Well, and that's a meaningful number, Stephen. Are there any income limits attached to this?
There are. To qualify, your modified adjusted gross income needs to be at or under $75,000 if you're a single filer, or $150,000 for married couples. It's targeted toward retirees who are in that moderate income range, which is actually a large portion of the people who rely on Social Security as a primary income source.
Well, and how does that connect specifically to spousal benefits?
For married couples who are leaning on spousal benefits as part of their retirement income, this deduction could make a real difference. By reducing taxable income, it helps preserve more of what they're actually bringing in each month. When you're working with a fixed income in retirement, every dollar matters. And a provision like this can help stretch that income further. It's one more reason why staying current on tax law changes is a part of a good retirement planning, not just something to hand off to your accountant once a year.
Well, and I want to make sure that we don't leave out a group of listeners who this topic is really relevant for, and that's people who are divorced. So how does any of this apply to them?
Good point. And the answer is that divorce doesn't necessarily take spousal benefits off the table. If you were married for at least 10 years before divorcing and have not remarried and are at least 62 years old, you may be eligible to receive up to 50% of your former spouse's Social Security benefit. And importantly, claiming that benefit has no impact on your ex-spouse and what he or she receives.
Well, that's something a lot of divorced people probably don't realize. So are there any nuances to the timing of when you can claim?
There are a couple worth knowing. If your ex-spouse is already receiving Social Security benefits and you're at least 62, you can claim right away. If your ex-spouse hasn't filed yet, you can still receive benefits once you reach 62, as long as you've been divorced at least 2 years. The two-year mark is a threshold to be aware of in that situation.
Well, what if someone is already receiving their own Social Security benefits, Stephen? I mean, can they still factor in an ex-spouse's record?
They can. If you're already receiving benefits and your ex-spouse's record would yield a higher amount, you'd receive whichever is greater. The same logic we discussed earlier for married couples applies here as well.
Well, that's interesting. And then what happens if a former spouse passes away?
In that case, you could be eligible for the same benefits as a surviving spouse, provided the marriage lasted at least 10 years. So even after a divorce, that 10-year threshold carries real weight. It's one of those details that have a significant financial impact, and it's worth knowing whether it applies to your situation.
Wow. Well, what a great note to end on for our episode today. So anything else before we close out?
If you have any questions about retirement and your financial strategy or about Social Security strategies, visit us at our website at veritywealthgroup.com or call my office at 626-650-9486. We'd always love to help you build a financial strategy that has you looking ahead with more confidence and excitement.
Well, thank you, Stephen. And what a great episode on Social Security and really the power of spousal benefits. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you sharing that information today. And that does it for this episode of the Verity Wealth Report with our host, Stephen Ting.
Join us soon for another great episode of the Verity Wealth Report. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for joining us for Verity Wealth Report. Don't head into retirement without a plan for both your finances and your health. For more information, contact Stephen Ting at Verity Wealth Group at 626-650-9486 or visit veritywealthgroup.com. Join us again soon for another episode of Verity Wealth Report.
Stephen Ting offers investment advisory services through Grading Advisors, LLC, Arden Hills, Minnesota, 877-885-0508, and SEC, Registered Investment Advisor. Grading Advisors, LLC, and its advisors do not render tax, legal, or accounting advice. Verity Wealth Group is not a registered investment advisor and is independent of Grading Advisors, LLC. Insurance products and services offered through Stephen Ting, independent agent. Verity Wealth Group, Stephen Ting, and Grading Advisors, LLC are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any government agency. All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.